The Rama brings down a custom of going to the mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. There's a strong minig on Erev Yom Kippur. Many people go Erev Rosh Hashanah, but as we'll see, Erev Yom Kippur is even a stronger source, but many go both. And of course, the Hasidim who go every day, there are those who go every Friday. What is the basis of this minig of going to the mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur? We don't go to the mikveh the rest of the year. Why should I go to the mikveh Erev Yom Kippur? So the different schools of thought in terms of why, what's the pshat in the Rama in terms of why does he say you can't go to the mikveh? So some want to say pshat in the Rama is al keri, that the person's about keri, and therefore, so what's pshat? We're not machped, but a person's about keri all the time. So why are we more makbid on Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Rosh Hashanah? So that's what they discuss. There's a machlokes, Rambam and the Ravid in general. Well, it actually goes back to the Gemara in Brachas that talks about Takanas Ezra, that before you learn Torah, before you daven, you have to go to the mikveh. And then Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira repealed the Takana. He said, you know, so the question, Machlok is Rambam and Raiva, what exactly did he repeal? So according to the Rambam, he repealed everything, that you could now you could learn and you could daven without going to the mikveh. And according to the Ravid, he only repealed learning. You could learn without going to the mikveh, but davening's still intact. So it's a Machlok is Rambam and the Ravid, and to go to the mikveh every day before davening. So the Rambam writes, you don't have to. It was repealed completely. So Mi'ikra Adin, you could daven, and you could not only learn, but you could daven without going to the mikveh. And the Ravid says no. So Mi'ikra Adin, we paskin like the Rambam. The Chassidim are machbid, machmir like the Ravid, those who go to the mikveh every day. So some want to say, so even though all year round we're lenient like the Rambam, but on Erev Yom Kippur, a day, as we'll see, a day of Kapara, so therefore the minig is to be Machmir for Takanas Ezra on Erev Yom Kippur. But strictly speaking, it's all based on Keri, and it's just the Chumra about going Erev Yom Kippur. That's how some explain. The Rush quotes of Sajagon, it says, no, nothing to do with Keri. So, because we have Rav Sajagon even talks about even making a bracha on Erev Yom Kippur. Go to the mikveh, and he holds it's like a din d'oraisa, nothing to do with keri. It's a din d'oraisa, you make a bracha, asher keshenam asav tzivano al tzvilas Erev Yom Kippur. So what is this? So the Rush wants to suggest, what is the basis for the Rav Sajagon? So someone has suggested it's based on, there's a mitzvah of the Sholosh Regolim, there's a mitzvah of going to the Beis HaMikdash, being Tahar. So they point out that just like when you're going to the Beis HaMikdash and going into the, bringing the Karbanos, you should be Tahar, so too Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Mitzvah Simcha, so therefore, we should go to the mitzvah Chayiv Adam Taharat Bo Berego, because that's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that it says Bidnevasa Mosigo. Like it says, you should be careful not to touch a carcass, a dead animal. And so the question is, like, what do you mean? Even a Kohen could touch a dead animal. It's only people. So the Gemara says, we're talking about a regel, and it's a special halacha. If that's what I think the Rush wants to suggest. The Shagas Ayi says, what are you talking about? Number one, it's a Shaila. Number one, even if there's a mitzvah Simcha in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Rambam writes, it's not a day of Simcha Yisera, but that's a Shaila. And he said, we don't go, there is no Ola Rego, there are no Karbanos Bizman Hazeh, we're all Tami anyway. What's the point of being Tara from Tumas Keri, but being Tami Mei? So therefore the Shagas Ayi rejects what the Rosh, but the Rosh suggests to tell us the din of Chayiv Adam v'taras mo berego. Others point out, I think the Ramah quotes in the Darkei Moshe, that there's a din of Gersh and Iskayer Kekatan Shinola Dami. It's a din where a ger, when they convert, so we say they have a din of a katan, like a newborn baby, so to speak. So the Ramah seems to be saying it's a din out tshuva, that Kiba Yom Azeh, it's a mitzvah on Yom Kippur, you have to be tahar. And therefore, you have to enter Yom HaKippurim in a state of kapara v'tahara. And therefore, there's a mitzvah in our Torah to go to the mikvah in order to enter Yom HaKippur in a state of tahara. It's part of the mitzvah of the pasuk Lefnei Hashem Tidharu, you have to enter Yom Kippur. And that's why, in fact, Rav Soloveitchik used to point out that one should be makbid, it's not an issue here, but one should be makbid to go to a men, you know, to go to a regular mikvah, because he says the heter of going to a men's mikvah, that's just that you can daven, but it's not that you still have too much carry. He says you should go to a regular mikvah and therefore, get the tumah. It's based on Kibbe Yom Hazeh, Yechaper Aleichem, and it's a din of tshuva, like Gersh and Iskaya, Kakatsu Chino Adam, we are all like a ger, and that's how it gets in the Rav, the Hare Kedem, he points out, the Machok is the discussion by a Kohen, a Kohen Shaharag, whether if he does tshuva, whether he can still do Birkas Kohanim or not. So the Ramah is more Mako than the Machaber. Avadu Yosef takes the Machaber a little more lenient, but that's what they discuss, in terms of what is the Koach HaTshuva, does it make you into a different person or not, the Achir, and therefore, obviously the Ramah's working with, like a Gersh and Iskayer, you're a new person, and therefore that person killed, but now you did tshuva, you're a new person, therefore you could do Birkas Kohanim. So that's the Indian, so that's 1 minute, that's the minute of going to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. Another minute, before we get to the din d'oraisa of eating, but the other minig is kaparas. It's some other people. But so the minig of they bring down the minig of kaparas, that with the old minig with chickens, and basically you wave it around your head, and basically the concept is that the sins go on to a, the sins go on to the chicken, and therefore. So the question is, what about the Rishonim? Even though this is an accepted custom to do it, it wasn't without controversy. The Rishonim, the Ramban, the Tshuvas HaRashba, they're all against it. That the Rashba says he didn't permit it with the chickens in his areas. The Ramban calls it Darkei Amori. It's Avodah Zarah. What is this stuff? It's a great scam. You're putting the sins on the chicken. I'll do what I want, and I'll put the sins on the chicken. So they point out that the Machaber brings down not to do it, but he doesn't. He's not as strong. He doesn't say it's Darkei Amori, but he still says the minig is not to do it. And the Ramah writes the minig is to do it with chickens. So, how come the Ramah isn't bothered by the issue of Darkei Amori? So, different possibilities. Some Achronim suggest that Darkei Amori, it's limited to what the Braisa mentions. It doesn't mean it's not just anything that's Darkei Amori. The Mishnah, I think in Shabbos, lists different things that are Darkei Amori, Tosefta. So, since this isn't mentioned, one of them, so therefore it's not a problem. Others point out that no, it's only a problem of Darkei Amori if there's no practical benefit. But this is a famous machlokas, the Ramban, the Gra in general, regarding chukas hagayim. If there's a practical benefit, do we still say chukas hagayim or not? That's what the Ramban is meiko. The Ma'arik about, let's say, doctors wearing white gowns or green gowns, because it gives a certain chashivas, people would take you more seriously, you know, whatever. If you could find a practical reason to do it, so then it's not a problem of dark, you know, of dark. So on some point out, it's a very practical issue. It's to elicit thoughts of tshuva. And he says, the pshat is it's not that you're putting the sins on the chicken, that's not the way. You know, no one believes that. Is by doing, you know, it's like a carbon. Really, it should be me. But, it should be me on the carbon. It really should be me on the chicken. God just wants my ratzon. It's to do it to elicit thoughts of tshuva. So then it's okay because it's a practical benefit. And in fact, so, you know, different minhagim. Some people still do it with chickens today. And others do, you know, many people do it with money today. And even if you assume it's not a problem, lines, so there's one issue from the Shochit's point of view. He has so many chickens to slaughter, but concerned he's not going to do a good job, and you'll end up, the chicken will betray. It's kind of like the problem of Meiron, where people are slaughtering cows in the dark. But here it's too many, so what he's concerned is maybe you should spread it out. Don't wait to Erev Yom Kippur. Start doing it during Aseret Yemei Tshuva because the lines are too long and the Shochtim might not do it properly. And in addition to that reason, the problem also is if you have these long lines and people are holding the live chickens, we're dealing with Sar Bali Chayim. So to alleviate the problem of Sar Bali Chayim and online, so the practical suggestion is don't wait to Erev Rosh Hashanah, but start doing it earlier so you have time to get it all in. And that's why it could be, that's a Rashi. Rashi writes, I think, in Shabbos, Pei Aleph, he quotes a different meaning from the Gaonim. They used to do a vegetarian kaparis, I guess for those vegans or whatever, that he used to take a pot of legumes, and I think it was Erev Rosh Hashanah, and they used to throw it into the river. And so it could be Rashi is preempting those issues. Number one is he says Erev Rosh Hashanah to start it early, and it wasn't a chicken, it was veggies, but don't have any feelings, and therefore to avoid, and also it was the same purpose, you know, to elicit tshuva, etc. So that could have been the precursor to it all. But and that's why many have the meaning to use money today, because that's how, you know. And anyway, they used to give the chickens, you give it to the ani, you give it to the poor. That was the purpose of it. You slaughter the chicken and you give it to an ani. So today, you know, we do money and in the pushka. And there's interesting discussion regarding if one's wife is pregnant. So the Rama brings down that if your wife's pregnant, so she should bring, to, you know, do a double kaparet because they first talk about, because maybe for a male and woman, so, you know, hen and rooster, like you should use, if you're using a chicken, that is. So if you're using money, it should make a difference. But if you're using a chicken, the male chicken, the female, because maybe the woman has a male and therefore you need another chicken. So the Ramah, it's Masha from the Ramah. If you knew what the sex of the child was, if it was a woman, it wouldn't be an issue. But the Arizal writes, or the Shua, that no matter what, the pregnant woman should bring two kaparas. And the Vilna, you know, so the Vilna, the Be'er Agra seems to say the issue depends on whether Uber Yerech Imo or not. In other words, if Uber Lav Yerech Imo, so then they should bring two sets, because it's some. If Uber Yerech Imo, so if it's a woman, so then it's all the same. If it's a man, you'd have to, you know, you have to bring. Those are different minhagim. But the bottom line is one of the many minhagim we do. It's things to elicit tshuva on Erev Yom Kippur. And regarding the, so those are, that's, so again, so the, we assume it's only a minhagim, because even though Rav Sajigon held it was a din daraisa mikvah Erev Yom Kippur, but the strong minhag to go on Erev Yom Kippur based on those different reasons, the minhag of kaparas. And there's a mitzvah min haTorah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. They're going off in the Pasuk, it says, Petisha Be'erev, and talking about fasting, it says the fast starts on the 9th. So the Gemara learns out two things from here. One is that the mitzvah of Tosefes, Yom HaKippur, which everyone agrees to. But the other thing the Gemara says, called Ochel Petishi, we learn out from whoever eats on the 9th, it's Ki'ilu Is'ana Petishi Vasiri. It's like you fast on the 9th and 10th. So we learn out the halacha of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. What is the nature of... Everyone agrees it's a mitzvah. What is the nature of the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur? So, the different schools of thought. Some say it's a hachana. It's a hachana. Since the one day a year the Torah tells us to fast, so the Torah has to make sure we eat a lot the night before, the day before. And therefore, it's a hachana to prepare us to make the fast easier. The Shibuei HaLeket also says it's a hachana, but he says in the different direction he goes. He says, it's part of the mitzvah of Inisem Es Nafsho Seichem. You should eat a lot on Erev Yom Kippur because we all know how it works. You eat a lot. That's why on Monday we're always the hungriest because we packed it in the whole weekend. And then on Monday we don't eat as much. We start getting hungry. And that's why some have it where they don't like waking up early on a fast day because they think if they eat early in the morning, it's harder for them to fast. So similarly here, so the Chibolei says, you should dafke eat to make it harder. We don't assume that way, but either way, but the nafke mina would be, can you take a pill, Erev Yom Kippur, or a pill perhaps even on Yom Kippur, that's going to make the fast easier. You know, so, pashtus, then why not? There's nothing, the issue isn't, in fact, that's why you're eating Erev Yom Kippur, to make it easier. But going to Chibolei Aleka, dafke not, because the whole point is the Nisem Es Nafsho Seichem. So one school of thought is the Hachana, and the other opinion says no. It's a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. It's an independent mitzvah. Well, what is the independent mitzvah? So that's what the Beit Dan Rabbeinu Yonah and others, that really, it's assumed as Yantzah. But since we can't eat a meal on Yom Kippur, it gets into Yom Kippur, with the luchos being broken, etc., it's really a time of the time when the Torah was given. The Binyan Shlomo has a whole day about Torah Shevaksav, Torah Shebaal Peh. But the bottom line is, the based on Rabbeinu Yonah, perhaps it's a suda as Yontif, and since we can't eat on Yom Kippur, we have a suda Erev Yom Kippur. So there are two schools of thought, whether it's... So, they point out, my nafkamina, who cares? Either way, I'm eating an Erev Yom Kippur. So, the nafka mina is, someone who's a chole sheyesh bo sakana. Not a chole sheyesh bo sakana, who has to eat shirim, and not some people, you know, not, let's say, a muberet menekes, who on the books have to fast, but might be able, someone who's a chole sheyesh bo sakana and has to eat. So, do they have a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur? You know for sure you're not going to fast on Yom Kippur. So if it's a hachana, so if there's no fasting, so you have no mitzvah to eat. But if it's the independent mitzvah, then what's the difference? Either way, you go ahead and you have it's the same mitzvah in our Torah for you to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And that's why then they get into also as well, it's a regular chola, and then they discuss whether a woman included in the mitzvah of eating achilas erev Yom HaKippurim. So it depends. If it's a mitzvah of neyatzma, then maybe it's a mitzvah saseh shazman graman, she should be pater. If you tell me it's hachana lasiri, generally speaking, men are stronger than women, so if men have to eat to have the strength to fast, who I did women, especially pregnant women, nursing women, they have to eat to stay strong. So how much more so if a man has a chiyav, it's a chana, because this guy called, kind of, to borrow the phrase called sheyeshnu b'shmi or yeshnu b'shira, women are chayav in the inuai, so they'd also be chayav in the achila. So that would be some nafkaminas in terms of whether a woman whether it's independent mitzvah, whether a woman achayev, whether chole sheyesh bo sakana, you know, has a mitzvah to eat. And some want to say, perhaps a isha chole sheyesh bo sakana, maybe a manashach, because if it's an isha, maybe it's a mitzvah that says she has man grama, and then if she's not fasting, so then, you know, for that reason also, there's no reason to eat. But either way, you know, the minhag is, what you're going to eat anyway, but they say on Erev Yom Kippur, it's different than the mitzvah of eating on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. In certain ways, it's more machmir. As the Ramah brings down, you don't have a tainus chalom on Erev Yom Kippur. On Shabbos and Yom Kippur, it's in the discussion, but not on what's the pshat. So the Rav Chaim, the Rav, the Tzav Eishek explain, because when it comes to Shabbos or Yom Tov, there's a general umbrella. There's a chi of oneg that causes you a chi of to eat, but it's not directly to eat. There's a mitzvah of oneg, and part of oneg is not eating. Part of oneg is eating, but certain times you can have an oneg by not eating. And similarly, on Yom Tov, the mitzvah is chumcha Yom Tov, and eating is incidental. However, when it comes to Erev Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah of achila, and therefore you have to eat. So therefore, you have to eat. You can't have a tiny shalom. And that's why the minhag of many gedolim throughout the centuries, that they always were makbid to have a piece of gum in their mouth, out of their gum, sucking candies, you know, something to keep in the mouth, because every second you eat, you know, you get a mitzvah. And that's why there's a further discussion. When does the mitzvah begin? Does the mitzvah begin tonight? Has it already begun? Or it begins tomorrow morning? So someone would say, well, if it's the din of hachana, then perhaps maybe what you're eating tonight doesn't really help that much, so it's more about tomorrow. But if you hold it's a mitzvah, it's sudas yantiv, it's out because it's like a yantiv. The yantiv begins at night, and therefore, you know, I know, so people say, you know, but people say I'm always meiko. So, okay, so you want a chumrah, I'll give you a chumrah. Eat tonight, the mitzvah begins tonight. It's kind of like the story with the Beis HaLevi and the Maskil. The Maskil went to the Briskers and said to you guys are always machmir, like, what is it with you? And basically, they gave him a list of a couple of kulas. The one kula I remember is, you know what? On Erev Tisha by Yatta Chatzos, if you want, you can learn. If you're looking for a kula, I'll give you a kula. So, therefore, the point being is, you know, so I want one, so, you know, one should be machmer tonight. And that also depends on the other issue of, do we have a big slichas? So, do you have a big slichas Erev Yom Kippur or not? So, different minhagim. Our minhag is to have a short one, but what is the issue? If it's a yantif, so then it's just a short one. And that's why you would begin to have, if it's just a hachana, it's not a yantif, then, you know, then Erev Yom Kippur, what better time to have a long slichas to get it all in, like we have on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So those are some of the issues regarding some minhagim and some halachas of Erev Yom Kippur.